We're roasting coffee in a kitchen oven. I'm round the house of, well, flat of Christian Hambley. Does your missus know we're doing this?
No. I could get into trouble, but we shall see. We're about to see how smoky it truly gets and why the lady at the house of coffee actually had an extraction system.
Yeah, we've got an extraction. Oh, time to shake. That was the alarm. We're shaking every 2 minutes. We've basically put the coffee beans. Oh, they're starting to brown on one side. That's not good. On a baking tray. And the baking tray is in the oven at how many degrees?
It's currently at, we can check, 160 degrees.
So we've got a thermometer actually inside. Don't trust the little knob that's on your cooker. And the research we've done for this is visit House of Coffee this morning in Leighton Buzzard. And look at how the professionals do it and have been doing it for 20 odd years, and they've done it the same way. And she does 10 roasts a day, and it's like clockwork, I guess, apart from when there's a power cut, which I can imagine can be a problem. And the biggest problem, she says, is when there is a power cut, because they're powered by gas, as we are here. Or is that an electric oven?
Electric oven.
Okay, the hob is gas. Then they can still roast, but it all catches fire because it's not... It's not rotating, and you're just going to ruin everything. So it's the movement and the rotating and getting an even roast, I guess, as we nervously look into the oven again. This is not likely to explode with our face so close to the glass, is it?
No, it should be okay. Apparently we should get yellow beans within the first few minutes.
Okay, well, there's definitely some movement going on as well as the moisture. I've seen a couple of beans looking like they're alive. Oh, I see some yellowing going on. Interestingly, there are two cracks when you are roasting your beans at home. The first crack is telling you that they're pretty much good to go, and then it's down to you and how long you wait before the second crack. After the second crack, you're probably dangerously past the you're into Starbucks territory with the second crack. So we're going to probably go first crack with this batch, and then maybe pull them straight out if they look right, but maybe wait a minute or so, and then wait a little bit longer for a second batch. This is just experimentation. So, baking tray with green beans on. Is it my turn to shake?
It's your coffee.
This is going to be a one-handed, you're not taking any responsibility for my burning myself as I record, and give the beans a little bit of a shake. Oh, nice. Only losing a few. And what are we going to do with the beans afterwards? How are we going to grind?
We'll actually do a cupping, so a proper tasting of it. So we'll do a coarse grind on it, just almost like a cafetiere, but without the plunger bit. So we'll actually do it in a fixed bowl, 60 grams per litre, leave it, smell the crust as it goes through, taste the coffee and taste it at different temperature stages as well. So you'll get to see the flavour profile change and actually get to taste your creation.
I think we've been misled historically when you see images of Jekyll and Hyde surrounded by paraphernalia, because I've seen a similar scene in this very flat. So whether or not you are in fact a Jekyll and Hyde and that's what coffee does to you, I don't know. But he does have some very interesting looking chemistry style paraphernalia, rotating bulbous glass objects, which is designed to filter and do all kinds of... What did we have coffee out of earlier on?
A Chemex, a 1 litre Chemex, which is, if I remember rightly, it's a Russian chemist. I believe there's significance about the leather strap around the neck and akin to the hammer and sickle. But it was a chemist that invented them because it's all about the papers.
Ah, I see. And the papers being... I'll just bang the microphone there if you heard a thump. It's not my head caffeinated and dropping off. The papers, super, super fine? Super filtery?
Yeah, super, super filtery. So they take it out so you get less particulates in your coffee. So you get a really clean cup of coffee. And if you like filter, it's lovely.
We did just that. And I likened it a little bit to an AeroPress cup without the going through fine paper, without the hassle of the AeroPress.
Yeah, it seems absolutely. The AeroPress is lovely and then it's portable. It's great, isn't it? It fits in the bottom of your bag.
Yeah, it's not glass.
It's not glass. yeah, this is a lot of glass to go carrying around. But it's just simple that you can get really nerdy with it. We've seen the rituals that everyone goes through that's different. But if you want to just pour your kettle in over the top, as long as it's off the boil, you're going to get a great cup of coffee.
You don't look too uncomfortable at the moment, considering this is really rough and ready experimentation. What was that thing you were telling me you're going to buy?
What was I going to buy? That's a good question.
It measures the density.
A TDS meter. So we can actually measure how much solubles have been dissolved into the water.
You hear that?
Coffee is in the coffee, which would be great.
Yeah, so, yeah, you remember that next time you're scooping your instant into your cup and giving it. Shall I do 3 stirs or 4 stirs? 1 lump or 2? He's measuring the density of soluble matter in his coffee. Does it really make it taste any better? No. I guess a lot of it is psychology and ritual, so yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, is it going to make me feel better about making my coffee? Yes. Is my girlfriend going to disown me? Probably.
But while we've got the ritual, we've got a pastime that we love to do.
Exactly. And isn't it about smiling on a daily basis?
Yeah, and there's 3 minutes, 4 minutes when you get the meter, probably 5 minutes of the day, you're not going to be working.
Very good point. Very good point. Just enjoying, almost back to your time in the chamber, the isolation chamber. Those 3 or 4 minutes doing this ritual gives you that isolation to just totally think, what's going on today? What am I going to do? What do I need to avoid?
We've come for another one. I reckon we're getting close to the cracks. And so let's stop talking so that we can actually hear how these are going to be finished. Getting browner. In certain areas other than others.
The really good news is that oven temperature is not becoming too inconsistent with us opening and closing the door.
No. Well, I'm sure that you will probably see either via at Christian Hambley on Twitter or at Documentally on Twitter how this coffee turned out. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'll pause this, save you the hassle. Because who really goes on to search other stuff? Oh, he's bringing out the chemistry set. Back soon. A short while later, we have coffee. We have very nice looking light roast. And we took it out after, I don't know how many minutes, because we were talking so much and dropping it back in. How many do you reckon?
About 15, 20, but we kept opening the door and closing it and opening the door and closing it.
And there was no audible crack as far as we could hear, but we were doing so many other things. It's a bit like getting the siphon coffee paraphernalia out and having coffees in between. Brought it out, nervously ground it in a hand grinder, a ceramic hand grinder, so as not to damage the large electronic one should everything be green on the inside. Seemed to grind quite well, and the smell, I immediately said chocolate. It just smelt like really sweet chocolate. And we've now got it in a bowl, and we've just done a little testing. It's extracted, literally. That was a proper professional slurp of a spoon. How would you explain it?
Chocolatey with a slight nutty edge to it. It's quite light, though.
It's super light. We did quite a coarse ground for what is a light roast. So we're thinking, I mean, it might be worth just trying with the same beans, because we've got some left, a really fine grind, and then giving it another bit of boiling water on top, because I think we're going to get... But I'm really impressed. The breakthrough, though, was a slight brainwave from Christian when he says, actually, I've got this really interesting Teflon mesh, which you use for pizza cooking.
Yeah, pizza and, anything oven-based when I'm being lazy.
And it's a fine, flexible mesh that didn't fit. It came straight out of the oven and didn't seem to me like it was conducting. I mean, it didn't seem to store any heat at all.
No, it's really, really fine. So it's almost like a wire mesh, but without the wireness. It's like a plastic.
And you sit a pizza on it normally, and it's meant to enable kind of an even cooking of the base because of the air holes in it. Well, Christian said, why don't we sling some beans on top of there? And straight away, and I don't know if it's because we're not opening the oven every 2 minutes, but looking at the actual beans sitting on top of this Teflon mesh, which you picked up for £2.50 from Amazon. We shouldn't be giving away secrets, because we're seriously thinking, if this works as well as we think it might, coffee roasting kits at home, because they're browning uniformly, evenly, a lot less of the kind of blended look we had off the first batch by sitting it on a tray. We've only moved the beans out of curiosity once, and it's looking really quite good. I've got a feeling we're going to hear the crack a lot sooner than expected, and you know, a 15-minute, maybe 20 minutes tops in this conventional home oven, we'll see that the mesh system is going to be a lot better for roasting. If you've listened this far, you obviously like coffee or are considering roasting your own. I would say give it a go. I'm going to keep the results of the second batch secret, because if we've stumbled upon something here, everybody's going to want to give this a go. And we were thinking early on, who would want to roast their own stuff? I mean, you can use modified popcorn machines for doing this. There's roasters, Christian says, you can pick up for £200 a pop. I would think that by being able to buy green beans and just sit them around, you know, for time immemorial, this is survival food. And then you just roast it when you need it.
Roast it on an open fire. Oh. Get a hot stone and sit into it while you're camping in the woods.
You skillet and this flexible bit of mesh is you know, I mean, we're talking extreme coffee making here, from green bean to final sippable nectar, for want of a better word. I've really enjoyed this experience, and I've got a lot of confidence in version two of our attempts being even better than the quite drinkable version one. And we've got a fine grind of the first bean now. I might throw up a photograph to show you what the beans look like, I don't know whether to go to documentally.com and you'll see a full blog including lots of photographs later on when I get some time. The secret is, go to the subscribe page. You'll see a lot of kittens looking like they're going to be tortured if you don't subscribe. Ignore that. Luckily, everybody that's visited the page has subscribed. And then you'll get delivered the coffee blog and know our results. And you will know whether or not version two has actually worked. Documentally.com. Look for the subscribe button. If you want to see more of Christian's ramblings online, where do they go?
ChristianHambley.co.uk or at Christian Hambley.
Advertisements all round. Oh, look at that. Let me just smell that finer grind. Again, it's as if Toblerone had made chocolate. Coffee. They do kind of make chocolate. I'm liking that. Yeah, give it a go. Home roasting. DIY.